You're listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. Martial jocks versus martial nerds. Martial arts students all fall somewhere on a spectrum. On one end of the spectrum are the intellectually bound. These are the martial arts nerds with a low boredom threshold and poor work ethic. They love the complexity and various rabbit holes of technical knowledge, but not what they consider the scut work of actual physical conditioning. The intellectually bound student is sometimes called a technique collector. It's not uncommon to hear a declaration from one of these guys like, "I know 37 knife disarms. How many knife disarms do you know?" Part of the weakness of the intellectually bound student is that he would rather entertain his brain by, quote, learning, unquote, a new technique than bore his brain with the tedious but necessary repetitive work that truly perfects a technique. Now, don't get me wrong. Technique collectors are very handy to have around, and that sort of knowledge can be quite useful if the technique collector later becomes an instructor. It's also important to remember, however, that collecting techniques is not the same as developing functionality with techniques. For example, judo has roughly 60 major throwing techniques, not including variations. To earn a first-degree black belt in judo, in most associations, requires that the student have at least rudimentary working knowledge of each of these throws. But most high-level judo competitors tend to focus most of their training on 3 to 5 throws at most. This specialization results from the fact that high-level martial athletes compete against other high-level martial athletes. They know that only techniques that have been honed to an elite level of proficiency will have a realistic chance to yield victory at this level. That kind of proficiency is only possible to develop for a relatively small number of techniques. There simply aren't enough hours in the day, days in the week, weeks in the year, and years in your career to do otherwise. This dramatically illustrates the fact that there is a huge difference between having a working knowledge of a technique and totally owning the technique. But even that is not enough. Not only must you own a select number of pivotal techniques, you must be in excellent physical condition as well to be an exemplary martial artist, especially if you plan an extensive career in competition. The dirty little secret of most intellectually bound martial arts students is that while they may present the irritating facade of an insufferable martial know-it-all, they usually suffer from a poor self-image in which they think of themselves as not athletic. The wise instructor finds a way to indulge the technique collector's sweet tooth for new techniques while subtly working to build his confidence in himself as an athlete, gradually working him from the intellectually bound end of the spectrum towards the sweet spot right in the center. On the other end of the spectrum are those who are physically bound. These are the students who care little for learning new techniques or having their form corrected. They simply want to be soaked in sweat when the class is over. As an instructor, I frequently detect mild hostility and resentment from physically bound students when I pause their training in order to correct their technique. They sometimes do a very poor job of concealing their impatience as I try to point out possible improvements. Some of these students seem to think that the instructor is nothing more than a caretaker and janitor for the training facility, and wish him to stay out of their way. They may not agree with the teacher's judgment that their technique needs correction, or they simply don't care about developing to a higher level. In any case, at my academy, I don't allow their attitude to deter me from offering the correction. After all, it's my job to do everything I can to help develop the student's martial arts skills and abilities, and I take my job very seriously. If a student has a problem with me trying to do my job, they're welcome to seek training at another facility. The dirty little secret of the physically bound martial arts student is that his macho facade is frequently a smokescreen to cover the feeling and the fear that he is not a finesse athlete, or that he is not smart enough to grasp some of the subtle nuances of technique. While it is true that being in great shape goes a long way to make up for other shortcomings, if the student wants to achieve his full potential, he should seek to improve his grasp of technical subtleties. And again, the wise instructor indulges the physically bound student's passion for hard work while gently nudging him closer to deeper understanding of the nuances of technique, tactics, and strategy, and closer to the sweet spot at the center of the spectrum. While it's true that only some of your students will lie near one or the other end of the spectrum, either intellectually bound or physically bound, it's also true that almost none of them will lie exactly at the center. A large part of your job is to nudge each student gradually towards that center. Anyway, that's what I think, but I could be wrong. Let me know what you think at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about The Martial Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.